RCE at 107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Daria Albinger. Donald Trump is now a convicted felon, but that won't affect the former president's plans to seek re-election. ABC's chief legal analyst Dan Abrams explains why.
He can run for president, no question, and he can even vote based on the fact that he's a Florida resident, the conviction's in New York, Florida law says they defer back to the state where it happened. That would mean New York, and in New York, the only way you can't vote is if you're actually serving time as a felon.
Mr. Trump could face prison time when he's sentenced on July 11th. ABC's Josh Margolin says that could create questions, however, for the Secret Service.
Would the Secret Service be allowed to carry weapons in a prison where there's no weapons? Where would they put Trump? Where would they put the Secret Service? How would they be able to incarcerate this man while also maintaining his protection? Because obviously he needs to be protected.
This is ABC News. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts says he must respectfully decline a meeting with Democrats to discuss whether his colleague Samuel Alito should recuse himself from January 6th cases.
In a letter to leading Senate Democrats, the Chief Justice says it's been the Supreme Court's practice for 235 years that individual justices decide whether to step away from cases. Samuel Alito has said he won't recuse himself for the flags that his wife has flown outside their homes and which critics say are signs of the Stop the Steal movement. Chief Justice John Roberts turns down a request to sit with Democrats to discuss the matter, saying it would be inadvisable to meet with leaders of only one party.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Louisiana could soon become the first state to require that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom. The state legislature signed off on the bill this week, and it's now on Governor Landry's desk. The IRS says its free electronic tax filing system will be permanent and available in all 50 states. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State education officials are threatening to suspend funding to Wisconsin's biggest school district. Milwaukee officials were supposed to turn over important financial reports 8 months ago. The Department of Public Instruction says Milwaukee school officials have to submit an action plan to avoid having funds cut off. The Madison judge presiding over the latest Act 10 court case appears to have signed a recall petition against then-Governor Scott Walker. Governor Evers says Jacob Frost should not recuse himself.
Well, I don't think so. Recusal is kind of a death knell of judiciary. Let's just let it play out.
Judge Frost could rule to restore union rights that many Wisconsin public workers lost in 2011. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win the series. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 6-4 in front of 33,000 fans at American Family Field. Milwaukee seems to come up with a new hero every game. This time it was catcher Gary Sanchez. Bottom of the eighth, full count, two outs, score tied 4-4. And Sanchez lifted a two-run homer to center that traveled 422 feet. Sanchez was signed by the Brewers in free agency, but a wrist injury prevented him from reporting on time. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he came into spring training late. while he was hurt. There was all sorts of speculation about, you know, how's that risk going to be and that type of thing. And as it turned out, you know, he didn't get to play a lot in the first 20 games. But since then, he's gotten fairly regular action, and he's proven time and time again that he's very, very capable.
So the Brewers win this series 3-1 in Craig Counsell's return to Milwaukee. After taking over as the manager of the Cubs, the Brewers remain in first place in the NL Central. Chicago drops to third place, 5.5 games behind the Brewers and the Cardinals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs warm to the upper 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend as well. High temps stay into the 70s. It's 65 right now.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We will be joined by Dr. Lehrman to discuss the mental health crisis in the United States.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to News from the Center, produced by WRCE. Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we got a kick butt show going on tonight. But before we get our guests on, why am I so happy, Haley?
Well, I think it might have to do with the orange one.
Yeah, we don't like saying his name here on Native Roots Radio. But, you know, 34 counts, 2 impeachments, and on and on and on. And we're really excited that he got his just due. 34 counts, 34 out of 34.
Yeah, and he's still saying it's rigged.
Yeah. Well, he'll say it's rigged forever. We're excited because, you know, the longer the jury would stay in, the more chance it would be a hung jury or even an acquittal. And we were happy that they were only in for 8 hours. And I was excited. Wendy and I were on the boardwalk, really excited to get back and watch this. So a good day to be very happy.
Yeah, exactly. And we have, you know, some really good lineup of guests here that I'm excited to get to. I just want to shout out Robert Lilligren will not be with us today of NACD, but we do have a couple important things to get out. We want to say Frank Buffalo Hyde's gallery exhibit. Artist Talk is tomorrow night, Friday, May 31st from 5 to 7. And then next week, next Thursday, is the first day of the Four Sisters Farmers Market. So we hope to see everyone out there at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, I will be out there, you know, and it's a place to be seen and see people. So that'll be exciting. And I know our store, Native Roots Arts, will be out there, and I believe Haley will be, I don't want to use the word manning, but you'll be manning the show.
Womaning. The vendor store. Yeah. Yep. One time out of the month. So I believe we won't be there the first week, but maybe the second.
Well, let's get our guests on here because we have a lot to talk about, and we have not talked about Line 5 for a while here. So I'm really excited to get Paul and Doug on here, and Paul's been on the show, Paul Domain, and let's get him on. Good to see you, Paul. Good to see you, Doug. And Paul, I'll just introduce you here. You're Community United by Water. That's a great organization, and you are the head of that, I believe. And Doug, you're a water advocate and a Line 5 person, and we are really excited to have you on and update our listening audience all over Turtle Island. As you know, we're on over 25 stations, Paul, and we got about 200,000 listeners on Turtle Island. So it's really important for us to amplify what's going on with Line 5. And again, welcome back.
Well, good afternoon to Indian country over the entire globe. And Robert and Haley, glad to be back. And yeah, there's plenty to talk about. Just wanted to say that there is no director or head of Communities United by Water. It's one of the unique things is that it's a very large coalition of probably over 150 people who participate in one way or fashion as either representatives of other organizations, the Sierra Club, 350.org, all kinds of private owned businesses in the Shequamigan Bay Area. So it's quite a coalition of people who come together on a monthly basis and talk about issues of the environment and projects that would impact the watershed of the Shequamigan Bay Ashland area of northern Wisconsin. And of course, this is just the current issue. If anyone's looked at the activities of the Shequamigan Bay area, they've stopped mines, they've stopped offshore oil drilling, they've stopped an incinerator. They've done some tremendous things because it is a water-based economy that understands clean water and understands that a spill on the Great Lake Superior Gitche-Gumee would halt that commerce for Madeline Island and for Bayfield and Washburn and many other areas. The impacts to the environment would be dramatic and drastic, probably longstanding, no matter what size of the leak. So welcome. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And Doug, I want to welcome you too. First time being on. Really excited to hear your insight of what's happening with this Line 5. And as we know here in Minnesota, we've had Line 3 and a lot of upset things that happened up there, you know, in the headwaters. And we've been fighting this for a long time, but it's great to have you two on. Doug, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate that. And Line 5 is just another Line 3 with, you know, two more digits. So it's the same story over and over again.
Well, we're going to get deep in here and remind our listening audience because there's so much going on and a lot of going on with their life. But what's happening with Line 5 and Enbridge and how we can support your work and get people the knowledge out there that they need to be able to talk about what's happening up in the deep north. So Haley, do I have another, I'm sorry, I thought I saw you put up a sign, but we have another 4 minutes, it looks like, right?
Yeah, my sign said just to unmute.
Oh, hey, well, we have more. I should pay attention a little more. Well, Paul, let's get into the history here and talk about Line 5 right now. And we got another 4 minutes on here. Thank you.
Well, the Line 5 is part of the extension of the spider web of pipelines that run throughout North America coming in from Canada around International Falls. Four lines run through Wisconsin and go south. One line runs across the northern tier along Lake Superior in Wisconsin and the UP down into Detroit and then over across to Sarnia, Ontario, Canada, where the majority of the oil products that run in that line are delivered to, even though there's some offshoots there in Escanaba for natural gas, which I was just reading an article about how one of the owners up there in the UP has already found an alternative source if Line 5 would be shut down for his customers. And so some of the fears that Enbridge try to put into individuals and this massive spending spree. I mean, in 2021, they reported alone that they spent something like $61 million in Wisconsin for PR media, newspaper ads, Super Bowl ads. Every single newspaper went from a quarter page to half page to a full page. And I hope people remember water protectors when they realize the economic impact the water protectors have put on to pressure Enbridge and that foreign-owned company to share some of its revenues. Because Line 5 was put in between 1953 and 1955. It's something like 645 miles long, a 41-mile reroute around the Bad River. It doesn't do anything for the other 620-some miles that is corroding and has been in the ground for 70 years, 15 to 20 years past its life. There's the Mackinac Strait issue that's bound up in the court system as well, where Michigan issued a shutdown order that's been defied by this foreign corporation, continue to flow their oil through the line, and that line has, and Mackinac Straits has been struck by anchors. It's adrift without proper support beams in place that have been washed out in the last 70 years. So there's a lot to be talked about in regards to what's going on. But we got a hearing coming up, and I'll get back to that a little bit later on June 4th, where the Army Corps is going to be taking testimony nationally in Wisconsin.
Well, thanks. And Paul, you're an old radio TV guy, so you saw that sign and wrapped it up real well. Right on. All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back. We're talking about Line 5 here, and we'll be back after this short break.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May, and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Stronghearts Native Helpline, culturally appropriate support and advocacy 24/7. Learn more at strongheartshelpline.org.
Well, we are talking Line 5 right now, and we had a really good intro from our friend Paul DeMaine here. Doug, what can you add to what's happening with Line 5? And one of the things I do want to bring up and that we talk about, especially with Enbridge, is that they're a foreign oil company pumping money into here. Like Paul was saying earlier, we'd go to the hockey tournament, the high school hockey tournament, the high school basketball tournament, and guess who the advertisers were? Enbridge. So it just sickens me in a lot of different ways. But Doug, introduce yourself and tell us what your perspective is of what's happening here in line with Line 5.
Well, my perspective comes from getting involved with Line 3 and seeing the damage that was done there and how it affects the communities that the pipeline goes through. You know, short term, there's good money for some people to work, but long term, there's nothing except damage. And my involvement with Line 5 after, moving from Line 3 has been through an organization or a group of people that are affiliated across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Canada. And our goal in that environment or that organization is to continue to put pressure on the Canadian government to stop using a 1977 treaty to keep oil flowing. The state of Michigan and the Bad River Reservation have both issued stop orders against Line 5, and both of those orders were overturned when the Canadian government imposed or invoked a 1977 treaty to keep the oil flowing. And some of that is now in court, and, you know, it's being litigated. But, you know, our goal in terms of our cross-border organizing group is to continue to apply pressure to the Canadian government, both from our perspective here in the United States, as well as our Canadian partners. And those Canadian partners have done some pretty interesting things. In October 19th of 2022, there were a couple of water protectors in Canada that climbed the scaffolding in Montreal and shut down the international terminal that exports Line 9 fuel internationally. And Line 9 is just an extension of Line 5 from Sarnia, Michigan, or Sarnia, Ontario, to Montreal. So we are working pretty hard to execute actions and petitions to bring Line 5 at least to stop its expansion, and hopefully to bring put a stop to it.
Oh, they talk about jobs, and we know the how false the jobs are. They're not high-paying jobs or contract jobs. Talk a little bit about all these false promises that Enbridge has had over the years with jobs.
Well, there's a lot of jobs involved with any kind of construction and infrastructure work in the country, and there's a lot of money in infrastructure for union workers nowadays, and there's a great need for pipelines. But the pipelines that I think we need are clean water in Flint, Michigan, clean water in some of the northern Minnesota towns that are running foul with their drinking water. There's plenty of work, and there's plenty of jobs that come and go. My experience of watching what happened in Minnesota was is that probably 60% of the workforce, and I forgot what it was, if it's 1,000, about 60% of the workforce or more, were people who were in the pipeline industries, because you saw Texas and Pennsylvania and Oklahoma license plates all over the place working there in northern Minnesota. So there's no doubt that there's stimulus, but it comes and goes. I mean, Line 3 had its impact. It came and went. And frankly, again, let's thank water protectors for extending it out. They thought they'd be up there for 6 months, and because of the actions by water protectors, it took 2 months. A lot of the union employees on that pipeline had extended vacation time, accumulated overtime, time and a half bonus. Their contracts were longer than they thought they were going to be. They ought to go out and thank a water protector for doing that for us, as we're doing the job of helping pump their jobs up a little bit. But we really want to focus not on you know, we might have some advocates within our organization that want to shut down fossil fuels tomorrow, because that's the argument someone says, well, it's, you know, what happens if they shut the oil down tomorrow? The whole world is going to go to hell, kind of a thing. Well, you know, I'm certainly not focused on shutting all the fossil fuel industry down tomorrow. What I'm focused on, one deteriorating line that's in a dangerous place, that has alternatives, that's not going to cost people in Sarnia more than a penny more per gallon of pumped gas there. And the majority of the products that are produced by this dirty, very, very expensive tar sands oil products out of the foreign country, that it's coming into the United States and being transported, we take on the majority of the risk. We've already had something like 22 spills on Line 5, the most famous being the Kalamazoo that spilled out 843,000 gallons. So there's legitimate concern from the history of this organization. And that ought to be the focus of the June 4th hearing by the Army Corps of Engineers in Ashland, Wisconsin. That's running from 11 until 3 and then 4 until 8 p.m. on June 4th at the Northwood Technical College. And it's very important that people show up and really you know, we need hydrologists and scientists and former DNR agents who have the mechanical, technical information in front of them to tell the Army Corps of Engineers and other agencies that they need to do their job better. They need to do it better in Minnesota because on line three, they're still working on mediating aquifer breaches, and they pumped all kinds of drilling fluids into the rivers and into the crevices underneath the rivers. And they're still, you know, doing mitigating what happened in Minnesota. And those, some of those engineering errors should have never taken place. It's because companies in a hurry to do their thing or trying to cut corners or whatever it is, but they ought not bring that to northern Wisconsin, in and around the Copper Falls State Park area. I'm hoping that when people get to the testimony that they really ask that the agencies and permits, and already the Army Corps of Engineers is holding this hearing despite the fact that there's two major components of the environmental impact statement that have been provided for on water and maybe wetlands or something like that. But the question is, why is there this rush to get the permitting process going before the drafts are done on some of these particular areas? And if you know the history of how these permits and drafts get put together, the DNR asks a question and they'll get a 20-page paper from Enbridge that they insert into the question, and that becomes the answer. And it doesn't mean that the DNR or Army or other people have tested some of these things. What they're relying on is the fact that Enbridge says they're going to do this. And if you look at, again, the history of this particular company, you'll find all kinds of infractions on line three and other projects in the United States that really bear out the idea that there needs to be much more scrutiny on this line, or it ought not be permitted. Like, again, I said, 41 miles around the Bad River Reservation takes it out of the watershed and across, you know, a dozen rivers, while at the same time putting it in contact with something like 22 different river sources. So it actually expands the cone of danger.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about line three and the frack outs out and the water that you could drink up in where the Mississippi starts. Doug, that was disgusting what was happening here in Minnesota. Talk a little bit about what this foreign company is doing or wants to do up in Wisconsin.
Well, as Paul mentioned, they're trying to put 41 miles of pipeline around the Bad River Reservation, and that pipeline will cross virtually every tributary to the Bad River, as well as another river that runs into Lake Superior. So, you know, it's and the hydrology up there is wet. It's there's some hills, and so there will be it'll be a difficult task, and it'll be virtually impossible to do without some sort of failures. And I want to touch base again on the cross-border organizing group and our attempts to pester, if you will, the Canadian government into the, dropping their unequivocal support of Enbridge. As I mentioned earlier, they have used a 1977 treaty twice to keep the water flowing. And we as an organization, Line 5 Coalition and the Cross-Border Organizing Group, have done filed several petitions with the Canadian government, and we are currently working on some initiatives to bring attention to the Line 5 as well as Line 9 to Canadian consulates in Detroit, which occurred on the 14th of May. And we have a meeting here in Minneapolis on the 14th of June at the Canadian consulate with their consul of foreign policy to talk about Line 5 and, you know, to bring to their attention, you know, the number of times that we have contacted the Canadian government to drop their support, their unequivocal support of Enbridge. And, you know, that's what we're into and trying to focus on.
Well, we got a few seconds left here. Paul, I'd really like to talk about how we can support you guys in the next segment and also talk more about
news from the center, WRCE. This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Daria Albinger. Donald Trump is now a convicted felon, but that won't affect the former president's plans to seek re-election. ABC's chief legal analyst Dan Abrams explains why.
He can run for president, no question, and he can even vote based on the fact that he's a Florida resident, the conviction's in New York, Florida law says they defer back to the state where it happened. That would mean New York, and in New York, the only way you can't vote is if you're actually serving time as a felon.
Mr. Trump could face prison time when he's sentenced on July 11th. ABC's Josh Margolin says that could create questions, however, for the Secret Service.
Would the Secret Service be allowed to carry weapons in a prison where there's no weapons? Where would they put Trump? Where would they put the Secret Service? How would they be able to incarcerate this man while also maintaining his protection? Because obviously he needs to be protected.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Perry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Americans are drinking less milk than ever. Milwaukee Magazine reports fluid milk consumption's been dropping since the USDA began tracking it in 1975. Milk-like beverages made from almonds, oats, and soy are largely to blame. Wisconsin is the second leading milk-producing state in the nation, behind California. Summer's coming. Wisconsin spends 11 more days than we used to, with highs in the 90s or hotter. Roop Singh of the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center says heat waves are a silent killer.
We don't see the same images that we see when there's an extreme flooding event or hurricanes, but heat waves are only second to disease epidemics in terms of the lives lost from natural hazards.
Sunday is Heat Action Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Doesn't it stink when you're a highly successful TV actor, but you only make $1 million an episode? That was Patricia Richardson's salary in the closing days of Home Improvement. Her co-star, Tim Allen, one of the show's creators, was making $2 million an episode. Which, according to the 73-year-old actress, was just the excuse she needed to leave a very successful acting job and highly popular TV sitcom. Must have been torture being saddled with all that money for so many years in a row when all you really wanted to do is have a paper route. A big misconception is that Hollywood is totally liberal. There are many conservative executives and actors in Tinseltown. One such example is Dennis Quaid, who is portraying Ronald Reagan in a new biopic titled Reagan. Quaid told Piers Morgan that Reagan is his favorite president, and in the same interview also professed support for former President Trump, saying that Trump is an a-hole, but he's my a-hole. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs warm to the upper 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend as well. High temps stay into the 70s. Right now it's 61.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
The verdict is in. I'll take you through each of the 34 charges in detail. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Paul Demain and Doug Heyer, and he's a water advocate, retired from IT and airline industry, speaking briefly on Line Coalition and cross-border organizing, working again with Paul Demain, Communities United by Water organizer. Welcome, you guys. Really interesting and really great to hear these updates, Paul. I kind of cut you off, Paul, at the end there. I'd like you to finish your thoughts on how great these organizers are doing and what they're doing for our communities, Native and white out there.
Right. Well, I think what I can recommend is if people are interested in getting more information, one of the websites that I work with is communitiesunitedbywater.org, communitiesunitedbywater.org. And then they have events listed there and from Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission and the Bad River Tribe and other tribes, the resolution from 27 tribes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota who wrote to the U.S. government opposed to the reroute and the extension of this line operating into the future. It's very easy to Google Line 5 and get information from everybody that's there. The other key word is Bad River. There was a recent one and a half hour film that was produced that's very, very good and describes the Bad River's fight against environmental issues and a fight to preserve their homelands in its pure, clean water state that it has been over the life since 1854. And so, you know, the main thing is right now is I think is to make sure that if those people who have something to say, make them aware of the comment period. It goes 31 days after the hearing on June 4th. And you can find that U.S. Army Corps of Engineer Line 5 permitting process. I'm sure you're going to find a lot of websites, and people just need to make their voices heard in casual ways. We're not asking for people to get radical, just to think about how good it is to drink a clean glass of water and whether or not that would be in jeopardy and whether it's worth losing, for example, the wild rice that the Bad River people, thousands of pounds of rice that they use for their economy and for their food basis there in the region, to lose all that for a foreign corporation. People have changed their mind. You know, Enbridge at one point wanted to take all this oil and ship it out of Duluth and put it on tankers and move it through the Great Lakes, and the public objected to it. And so at this particular point, there are alternatives that Enbridge and these companies can do, including everyone turning their thermostat down a little bit, getting better cars, doing all the things, and forget trying to be convinced that by Enbridge that you're dependent on plastic straws. People wouldn't know how to drink out of a glass if they didn't have a plastic straw made from oil products. They wouldn't know how to clean off the ice off of their windshield during the winter if they didn't have a plastic ice scraper and all the other trinkets that come out of foreign countries where this oil ends up and being produced into plastic products that are, again, causing a huge issue in the environment and the oceans and the collection of plastic beads and everything else that's going on. We really need to rethink what we're doing to our bodies and our resources. So thank you for having me on today. But the hearing again, Tuesday, June 4th, Ashland, Wisconsin. The website communitiesunitedbywater.org is just one of many. SierraClub350.org. You can find information on the pipeline there. So pass it to Doug for a minute.
Yeah. Hey, it's great, Paul, too, with your media background that you're handing it over to Doug. Good one. Ho-wa.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paul. And I can highly recommend the Bad River movie. It is an excellent documentary. And I want to just emphasize the action that we have planned here in Minneapolis on the 14th of June. It's at the Canadian Consulate in downtown Minneapolis. We have speakers from northern Wisconsin. We've got Dawn Goodwin from the White Earth Reservation to be speakers, and we will be delivering. We have an appointment at 11:30 with the the Consulate of Foreign Policy, and we will be delivering several documents at that time, as well as, you know, simultaneously having speakers out on the plaza in front of the building that houses the consulate. Now, this is the same kind of activity that's happening, that happened in Detroit. It's happening in what's called Riders in Ontario, which are, you know, they're the kind of the equivalent, I think, of a county, as well as we will be doing a very similar action at the consulate in Chicago sometime in July. So, again, the announcement for this will be posted on Communities United by Water within a couple of days. So, you know, thank you very much for having me on to speak about, you know, what we're trying to do with our partners in Canada to stop the Canadian government from exerting its influence here in the United States.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I appreciate you guys being on, and I'd love to have you on more often with updates. Paul, speak on what we can do as listeners, how we can support you and support what's going on. I know you've talking about a little bit. Let's get maybe a little specific for our listeners that are our doers out there.
Robert, there's a simple formula to what people can do. And what it is whatever they do best. If they sing songs for the earth. If you cook for the water protectors, go to a potluck feast and share it with people. If you're a writer, write letters to the editor. If you're into politics, contact your politicians. If you're a radio, you know, icon of some kind, do lots of radio. But it really is doing what you do best in a way and contributing in a coalition way. That's what I like about the coalition is we don't have a hierarchy of leaders and assistants and everything down. It's people from Canada through the Great Lakes area pretty much doing whatever they can to reach out to their clergy, to the educators, to talk to their children, to get people involved. And we're up against a grassroots operation of people in the United States who are up against a foreign corporation who feels that they can buy us and think they have by spending all the money in the world. There's money all over the place that Enbridge is showering the world with now. And in some places, they call it regulatory capture, where there's so much money put into suit coats and ties and lobbyists and lawyers. You know, for example, when Bad River filed a lawsuit against Enbridge, and Enbridge has been found to be trusting on the reservation for 11 years now and owns Bad River a payment. Well, Enbridge filed a lawsuit against Bad River. Enbridge filed a lawsuit against the state of Michigan. Enbridge will harass you. They will have people follow you around. We found that they're a very uncanny foreign corporation who will do what they need to do to intimidate people and to buy what they want from the community. And so Mike Wiggins told me one time, he says, we were all sitting at the table and working, talking about clean water, talking about food resources that are protected by treaty rights. And somebody from the foreign corporation in Canada walks in with a suitcase of money and change the entire dialogue. And so the people that want the money are there. They'll all show up at the front row at the hearing. They'll all have color-coordinated shirts on. They'll have big fancy trucks, but bought and paid for by a foreign corporation. So do Google search and talk to people and share and be yourself and be good to each other, because my cousins sometimes need a job, and some of them work for Enbridge because they need that, but they also need to be advocates for clean water wherever they might be.
Paul and Doug, as you probably know, Native Roots Radio was started because of Standing Rock, and at the same time, and what's old is new, and it's just I'm really glad that you guys are on, Doug, and talking about this, because we haven't talked about it in a while, and we get caught up in everyday things, but this is something that we can do something about as citizens.
Well, exactly. As Paul said, advocate. Do what you do best and advocate. And, you know, there's grassroots organizations that get large and have a common focus are extremely powerful. And, you know, it's time to influence some politicians. And that's what we intend to do.
That's huge. That's huge. Paul, you know, what can we expect coming up here? I know we got the 14th and we got the 4th. And we need people out there to get educated and get fired up. And it's great to have you two on. Tell us more.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that there's a lot of events coming up by a lot of organizations. There's people organizing in Madison and the Twin Cities and Detroit and Canada. There should be plenty of opportunities coming up, especially now that we're in the permitting process of negotiation. There may be some decisions made on some of those permits, but we're expecting that people are going to organize and resist any pipeline work in the Shawinigan Bay Area, just like they did at Standing Rock and just like they did in northern Minnesota. And so be ready for that, but be ready to be a grandma in a Prius who is in the middle of the road and offers to be arrested in northern Minnesota. It was just unbelievable the number of people that came up and supported that. Several thousand people were arrested to make a public statement. But I'd rather work all the regulatory authorities that we can and try to make them do their job and see whether the test of the potential spills can take place. I don't think it can take place. As Doug had said, the geology of that area is special. The watershed of that area is special. The Copper Falls State Park is a special area. The EPA has already said there's no way to get in there and remediate the site if there was to be an oil leak down in that area. And so I just think that I hope that it doesn't happen. Get out there and talk to people.
Well, right on, Doug. Thank you so much. And Paul, thank you so much for being on. We got to do this again and more often.
Thank
all
you.
Right. All right.
Thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake, Solar Bear with the Solar News. Ho wah.
If you're in a safe space and want to talk about domestic or sexual violence, Strongheart's Native Helpline is a culturally appropriate helpline for Native American and Alaska Natives. Strongheart's advocates are available 24/7 and can provide personalized safety planning, crisis intervention, and help locate Native-centered resources and service providers. For more information, call or text 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-7-NATIVE. Or chat online at www.strongheartshelpline.org. Free, safe, anonymous, confidential. Strongheart's Native Helpline.
Attention, Native American community. As we prepare for American Indian Celebration Month in Minnesota this May, it's essential to prioritize the health and safety of our communities. With social gatherings and festivities on the horizon, getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is crucial. So let's make getting vaccinated a tradition, inclusive, and cross-generational. Imagine gatherings filled with shared stories and cultural celebrations free from the shadow of COVID-19. Remember, protecting yourself and others is what counts. Whether it's time for an updated vaccine or your first shot, all COVID-19 vaccines offer protection. With the latest vaccine, especially recommended for our elders over 65. As we gather with friends and relatives this May for American Indian Celebration Month, let's ensure everyone's safety by getting vaccinated. Together, we can uphold our traditions and keep our communities thriving. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Wendy was hollering in the background. Hey, wow, what a great show. We have to really, Haley, get back to our roots here at Native Roots Radio, because this show was started fighting pipelines. So it was really good to hear those two talk about what's happening and get us fired up again.
Yeah. And yeah, when we talk about pipelines, it just always seems like, you know, like an ongoing battle. And I think, what's that saying? It's not the battle, but it's a war or something like that. But yeah, it's just unfortunate to that. Yeah, I would recommend the Bad River documentary to anyone looking for more information about the area. And we've had the Sierra Club people on before, I believe. We were talking about the Kohler Andre State Park and the golf course that was trying to go in there. But yeah, I mean, it's just an ongoing thing.
Definitely. So a lot of good things to do. I know we always talk about what action can our listeners do. You know, sometimes we feel helpless with what's going on, but really some good elementary actions that people can do, whether it's straws, ice scrapers, or getting a Prius, or, you know, not a Tesla. I just want to bring that up.
Well, it's like what Bob Blake talks about too. Hopefully he can join us here shortly, but I feel like Bob always says, you know, if we're looking for jobs, or people are looking for a job that's going to hire them quickly and keep them in work. Yeah, I mean, Enbridge always has these jobs, but so do, you know, renewable energy jobs. And I feel like Bob gives those out quite a bit.
Absolutely. And I want to get into something here, because I was having a little recall, and not in a good way, when we were talking about that. When they were up in Minnesota, there was people from all over the country that were coming in, and these were the union jobs that were promised to the people up north. People up north that lived in that community got low-paying jobs, carrying stop signs, you know, holding the signs for $20 an hour, no health care. And so there was a lot of blarney going up, and a lot of promises that didn't come true with jobs. So I really get irritated when I hear that there's work. Yeah, there's work for people that don't live in the state, because they're pipe fitters from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And we all know too, like we used to say, one thing we know about pipelines is they leak.
Yeah.
That's it. That's one thing we can count on for sure.
Yeah. Well, and if pipelines are your thing and you like installing pipe, I mean, there's fire sprinkler unions that, you know, fire sprinklers save lives, and, you know, that's putting in pipes and dealing with water. So there you go.
And I like what Paul said too. It's like, hey, if you're a pipe fitter, we need some clean water, and Michigan's still suffering from dirty water. And hey, here's our friend, you know, you didn't howl with us, but maybe we should howl again for the Timberwolves tonight, Bob.
Oh!
Oh!
Hey, Robert, speaking of pipelines, there is a housing developer in North Dakota that says that the carbon pipelines that they're talking about building are going to sink property values and cost local governments hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost revenue. So I think that this is another thing that these pipelines really need to, are these developers need to think about when they're developing these projects, right? Because I'm telling you right now, a lot of these counties, Robert, are not going to want these pipelines because of the inevitable sinking of property values, the lost revenue, you know, and that's not going to sit well for the folks that are there living. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I think that those are some things that need to be considered now more than ever with folks, you know, that don't appreciate these pipelines being crisscrossed all over their property in their community.
Well, Bob, you remember why we started the show years ago is because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation. And we would have probably never had the show. You and I would not be hanging out as much, because they originally wanted that pipeline to go through Bismarck. And they said, oh, no, pipelines leak. Put it through the Indian, put it through the BIPOC area, or put it through the Indian reservation.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And that was another form, you know, that was just another, you know, continuous environmental racism that happens with these projects, right? That frontline communities are constantly subjugated to, you know? And so that to me right there, Robert, was like when you, I like heard you and I was like, who's this guy, Robert Pilot? I was thinking, I was like, why do I know his name? And then my brother was like, oh, that's Bob Pilot from Old Scouts. Yeah. And we used to hang out with him. And I was like, what? And then my brother goes, yeah, you remember him? He was around all the time. And I was like, wow. And then it was so funny how we got connected. Mm-hmm. And then we started doing the program. But, you know, this has come so far since then. But it really, Robert, your activism and, you know, you speaking out and just saying that this isn't right has led to so many other voices now in Native country being heard and being recognized, you know, nationally now. And, you know, in my instance, you know, all over the place now, I have no idea. And this all just started with the show, honestly.
Well, and then we go all around the country and people listen to us, which is always, you know, hard to believe when you're talking into a microphone and it's going out to the cosmos. You don't know who's listening, but you run into people all over the country that know who you are and know who I am and Haley and Wendy.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I obviously, I'm sure you guys talked about the big news of today.
Yeah, we could talk more.
But I mean, you know, with that being said, I mean, I you know, that to me isn't, you know, I'm so happy, by the way. The other point I think I wanted to say was that, you know, so many good things are happening. And honestly, folks that are happening with this administration, that, you know, that funding is coming from the government into communities that never has seen this type of investment in their entire existence, you know? And so, I mean, you know, just, I want everybody to understand what this administration is doing, because they are doing so much good for so many folks around this country. You know, it's that old saying, Robert, you know, from Senator Wellstone, when we all do good, we all do good, right? It's something to that. Yeah. And I mean, that's why I say, today's decision, you know, made by this court in New York is monumental in so many ways and should have a profound effect on this year's election. Because I don't know how anyone in good conscience could, you know, cast a vote for, you know, an individual that is a convicted felon now. Whether or not he serves time or not is irregardless. He is a convicted felon. And that's the point. You know what I mean?
Well, and then to go along with his two impeachments.
yeah, absolutely, Robert. And so, I mean, I just don't know how anyone can even, you know, justify, you know, casting a vote for this individual now. And I hope now that that we do get a second, you know, Biden administration, because then that means that all the work that we have been doing and continuing can only get bigger and better, especially for these communities that, you know, have been, you know, so poorly invested in the past.
Right on. Bob, we got to have you on again. You know, the solar bear with the solar nuke. Yep. That's cheer tonight. Woo!
Go Wolves.
Go Wolves.
Go Timberwolves. And save the Wolves. Thanks, Bob Blake. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on. It's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a great time to adopt a pet and help out a Milwaukee animal shelter. On Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller and the debut of a new completely legitimate attack ad. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.